Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 24, we turn to that. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now here the Lord Jesus says that it's impossible to serve two masters. But it's also true that we can neither be free of all masters. We all have a master. There's no such a thing as a liberty that frees you from all masters. Everybody has one master. All men are either under Satan or they are under God, under the Lord. And Christian liberty takes account of that. There is no freedom and independence, an absolute freedom and independence from all masters. Every creature serves someone. So we're looking at Christian liberty. We're still in the first paragraph. And we've looked at the things that we are free from in the grace of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, what he has freed us from. We're also beginning to look at now the things that this freedom brings the Christian into. It's not just enough to be delivered from prison, to be delivered from Satan, to be delivered from sin and the curse and the wrath and the judgment of God to come. The freedom brings you away from those things, deliverance, but it also brings you into this new room, this spacious room of grace, this place of liberty and service to God. So that's part of Christian liberty as well, as the divines have noted. And it consists in their free access to God and their yielding obedience unto him, not out of slavish fear, but a childlike love and willing mind. And that's the aspect that we're dealing with tonight. Now, we have looked at the access to God. We did that the last time. But now we're looking at the yielding obedience unto God. Christians who are redeemed by Jesus are delivered from an old master, Satan, and they are brought into obedience to a new master, the Lord. They have this new ability, this new desire, this grace that causes them to want to serve the Lord, to be the servants of God. When a man is delivered, he is still a servant, but he has a new master, and that master is God. So Christian liberty, as I've said, is not freedom from all and every master. It is being the bond slave of Jesus Christ. That's liberty. That's true liberty. Whenever Adam sinned, he left God and he took a lesser and a wicked master. And Christian liberty liberates us from that wicked master and brings us to the divine master. As the Bible says concerning Christians, you serve the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord Christ, Colossians 3, verse 24. Christian liberty then does not mean liberty from God, but liberty to obey God, liberty to please him, to serve him. Liberty from God is bondage, but willing servitude to him is liberty. That's what we're trying to get across tonight. Romans 14 verse 9, to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of the dead and the living. That was the purpose of his death. That was the purpose of his resurrection and ascension. That's the purpose of his whole work. That he might be the Lord of his people. And that they might be his servants. And that's what happens in the new creation, the new world, the new heavens and the new earth. They follow the Lord whithersoever he leads them. They serve him forever. That's liberty. That's perfect liberty. That's wonderful liberty. To be able to serve our God. And Christians have this new desire, this ability to yield obedience, as the divine say. They desire to do that, they attempt to do that, they accomplish that with God's grace and by the help of His Holy Spirit, they serve Him. Now the word yielding is from Romans 6, where this new obedience, this yielding the members to God is talked about by Paul. After a man is justified, does that leave him the same? Can he sin that grace may abound? No, he doesn't want to do that. There is a new heart, there is a new life. Paul says, do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? God be thanked. You were the servants of sin. But now you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to you. And you've been made free from sin. And you're the servants of righteousness. Still servants, but now servants not of sin, but of righteousness. And that's Christian liberty. You were the servants of sin before, and then you were free from righteousness. But now you're saved, and you serve righteousness, and you serve godliness and holiness as unto the Lord. So again, Paul is bringing out this truth. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. You're either the servant of sin or you're the servant of Christ. So this obedience, this new obedience, this yielding obedience to God, it's not forced. It's not dragged out of us. It's not a slavish servitude. It's not servitude to a tyrant. That's what it was in sin. But it's glad obedience, it's willing obedience, as the divine says. They're yielding obedience unto him, not out of slavish fear, but a childlike love and willing mind. So this is a yielding obedience with the absence of something, slavish fear. So we don't serve God as a tyrant who we hate, but it's with the spirit of love. It's with the spirit of gladness. It's with a willing desire, with a heart, that God is touched. So it's not forced, and it's not out of dread of punishment, but it's out of thankful praise for His grace to us. So there's the absence of something in this service, slavish fear, but there's also the presence of something, childlike love, and a willing mind. That's what the divines say. So it's like a family now. With the relationship to Satan, it was like a dungeon, a prison, chains and bondage and darkness. But now in the service to God, it's a family service. It's a home service. There's warmth. There's light. There's love. The kind of service that you do to your family members. A kind of service that children do for their father and to their father. It's that kind of service, which is totally different. So that's what Christ brings us into. Romans 8 verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So the Spirit of God has come into our lives, and there is this willingness to come to God, this willingness to pray, this knowing that He hears us, this knowing that He loves us. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So there's not this slavish dread. And that's what the gospel brings to sinners, because Christ reconciles us to God, and He gives us the spirit of adoption. So we cry, Abba, Father. And the Lord wants us to say, Father. He wants us to know about the relationship. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 73. The oath which He swore to our father, Abraham, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. That's a wonderful verse, and that's Christ is coming into the world. It's the Advent time, and the spirit of prophecy is coming on the father of John the Baptist, and on Elizabeth and Mary, and they're saying all these wonderful things. And this is one of these wonderful things that they're saying, that the Redeemer has come, the covenant to Abraham is being kept. We're going to be able to have this deliverance, this salvation from our enemies. And our greatest enemy is Satan and sin. Those are the enemies of the saints. Delivered from our enemies that we might serve him, that is the Lord, without fear, all the days of our life, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. So that's a wonderful text in regard to the liberty of the people of God and what Jesus Christ has brought in by his advent and his sacrifice for us on the cross. So there's this lack of slavish fear, but this spirit of love, confidence in God our Father. And then the willing mind. With a willing mind is another expression they use, and that's a biblical expression. That's found in 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9. You remember how David said to Solomon as he's about to die and pass on, he says, "Solomon, thou my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." A willing mind. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. "If there be a willing mind, it is accepted by the Lord, the service that we render, even if we don't have very much. Whatever it is, it might be very much, but if there's a willing mind, that's acceptable to God." So that's what he wants in his people. That's what he puts in his people. He made us willing. Doesn't the Bible say, willing in the day of his power? His people shall be willing in the day of his power. Psalm 110. It's a great psalm. It tells us about the session at God's right hand. And what's he doing there at God's right hand? He's making his people willing. He's saving them. He's delivering them from Satan and sin. And he's bringing them into his dominion, into his kingdom. And he's making a willing people, ready to serve him and to follow him, to stand with him and to be faithful to him. So that's what Christ's liberty brings his people into. Now, of course, Christ's liberty, while it brings us to the mind and heart, sometimes because of weak faith, Christians can have slavish fears and dreads. They can have doubts about their salvation, their relationship to God. Sometimes Christians can lose assurance and they can get into a kind of bondage. And there might be fears and anxiety there that's not really consistent with the Christian liberty that they have, but it's in proportion to their faith that can coexist even in true Christians. And there can still be a kind of a slavish dread because maybe they're not taught the Bible well, maybe they're not taught the gospel properly, maybe they've grieved the Spirit in their lives in other ways. So there could be different reasons for that. But nevertheless, even whenever they maybe lack assurance or have doubts and fears, there still is a love for the Lord. And there still is a desire after spiritual things. And there still is a going on with God to a greater or a lesser degree. That's always in the Christian. This willingness, this desire after God, this wanting to serve him, the wanting to have the assurance, if it's not present at that particular time. So this is true even of doubting believers, that there is this new heart, this new desire, this new willingness. And so it's God who works in us to will and to do this of his good pleasure. And the Spirit of the Lord does that. Doesn't the Bible say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty? He's the one that brings us. There is a work of the Spirit in our hearts. Obviously, Christ sets us free from Satan and sin. There's that aspect of the work of Christ, justification. But then there's a sanctifying work as well within us, whereby the liberty becomes into the subjective state of the Christian, the willingness, the love for the Lord, the desires, It's the Spirit of the Lord gives those to his people. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, he's bringing this liberty, he's working this liberty within us. So that's the Christian liberty then, negatively defined and more positively defined in this first paragraph.